I do not wear my Ethiopian clothes as well as Art and Rachel do. I am sorry for that. Can you throw on a PowerPoint there? Mogeda, this is his first time outside of Ethiopia. So there is a lot of firsts that he has experienced already in the last 5-6 days. First airplane ride, first time experiencing jet lag, first time experiencing lost luggage, first time experiencing a road with no donkeys, cows, people. First time away from his family, first time experiencing homesickness. Mogeda's church here, that he is a leader in, it's a daughter church of one of the churches that Blessing Children partner with. Karen and Amanda probably went to this church just a few hours ago. Inside that same tent, basically, worshiping the same Lord as us, having the same communion as us at the same Lord's table. 1 week ago, Mogeda and Namit, his wife, came to the front of the church and prayed for him, prayed for them, as Mogeda was taking this week of firsts. Mogeda's here for about another 3 weeks. There's going to be lots of times for you to meet him, get to know him. Let Sheila and I know. We have some dates planned to come into our house to show you some pictures. Some of you who are sponsoring children, Mogeda knows those children very, very well. And he can tell you how they are doing. So be looking for that. He'll be also coming to the youth group. And he's also going to other schools, other churches, over the next 3 weeks as well. I was joking with him just a little bit ago, but he's probably a good chance that he will put on more miles in Canada in a month than he will in his life in Ethiopia. Think about that for a bit. I have yet to convince him to root for Vancouver. You can open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Where are we? Page 870 in your blue Bibles. In your blue pew Bibles, if you wish. I do recommend that you open up the Bible, because it might sound just a little bit differently. I'm going to use a little bit of a different version than what you may be used to. I think that's on, right? Green is on? It's on.
በጌታ ስም አነባለሁ። መጽሐፉንም ተወስድ ዘንድ ማተሞቹንም ተፈታ ዘንድ ይገባል። ታርደሃልና በደምህም ለእግዚአብሔር ከነገድ ሁሉ ከቋንቋ ሁሉ ከወገንም ሁሉ ከሕዝብም ሁሉ ሰዎችን ዋጅተህ ለአምላካችን መንግስትና ካህናት የሆኑ ዘንድ አደረካቸው በምድርም ላይ ይነክሳሉ።
Well, Gideon and I are going to be talking just a little bit. Sorry, I should back up. That was one of three languages that Mogeta speaks. Okay, that was Amharic, a major language in Ethiopia. The other one being Oromia, and the third one being English. Mogeta and I are, he's going to be telling us just a little bit about his life, a little bit about his experiences growing up, a little bit about his faith journey. But when all is said and done, what he's really going to be telling us about is the love of God. Okay? All of us have what we could call a faith journey. I'm just going to guess and say that it's all of our faith journeys, mine included, are relatively the same. Mogeta's is definitely different. However, his is extremely similar to our Ethiopian brothers and sisters. So as he goes about through his story, here are some questions that you can be asking yourself. What do you think Mogeta's view concerning evil and darkness and slave to sin? What do you think that would be? How would it be different than ours? What do you think his view of suffering would be? How would his theology concerning suffering be different than our theology? What value does he put on the scriptures? How are his children going to be different than his childhood? Can Christ change hearts, values, the minds, and the worldview of people? And as we read in Revelation chapter 5, it's a picture of all the redeemed over all eternity standing in front of the throne. Okay? There's no way to truly answer this question on this earth, but of all the people that are going to be standing around this throne, how many do you think are going to be able to relate to our faith story? And how many do you think are going to be able to relate to his story? So I'll ask those questions as we go along here. Mogeta, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, just a little bit about your childhood?
Thank you very much for giving me the chance. So, my name is already introduced. I am from Africa, Ethiopia. I was born in rural area 1966 from a farmer family. I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters. My father is alive and my mother is late. We had only 1 ox, 1 cow and 1 donkey, 1 goat. Our weekly income was less than $10 a week. I used to sell firewood and dry manure on Donkey's Park and feed my family, plowing lands, harvesting, carrying and threshing with ox and cows. Our beliefs was we used to believe in rivers. When we cross a river, we cool grasses, and we hold it like this, and we beg God to keep us from problems. We need to believe in trees, big trees, the big trees, putting different gifts under trees, putting butter on the stem of the tree. In the absence of rain, we encountered so many droughts in our country. Canada is one of the best countries which stood in our side during our droughts. Thank you for so doing. In the absence of rain, we go to the top of mountain and cry to the gods to get rain. You black God in the sky, please give us rain. We are dying, please give us rain. This was the way we pray to the black God. We also used to talk to sun, to the sun. We were also appealing our cases to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, to the darkness, to the dark. We exhibit worship through a ceremony called Fachasa. In August, there is a god which is called Atete. We call Atete the god, or the August is called Atete. We have a very strong ceremony to pass that month. We sacrifice goats, three goats of special color, sheep and chickens. If we do not do this, it is very difficult to continue to live. When someone is sick in our home, the witch doctor tells us to cut a hen and throw on a rod so that the sickness automatically goes to a person who stopped on that dead body first. Another god was Adbar. The second god was Boronticha. We call it Adbar Boronticha. This is in May. In May, the people sacrifice again black and white. The black goat with white on the forehead, special. And mostly black sheep, totally black sheep. Black hen. And we spray the blood around our house, sometimes on bodies of our children, on our people claims to Kalu, Kalicha, for justice, healing and blessing. So that he pray for us. This Kalu is a special elders. They are from the community. They are supposed to be as if they are nearest to God, to the true God. So whenever there is discomfort or problems, conflict, dispute, sickness, whatever, we go to those elder people and present our issues. Again, there are special kallus to whom every newborn babies are taken for blessing in lifetime. The ceremony is called Hamachisa. When a new baby is born, we must take that new baby to that special evil spirit possessed person for a blessing. The journey can take 2 or 3 days on horseback. Our parents, I mean, used to do that. Once in the past, when my father tries to sacrifice a goat to a Borno teacher, the goat escaped from the knife and the spirit was angry. How come? As a result, my elder brother was suffered up to death with a disease. The spirit hit my brother with a disease because he was angry. My father didn't sacrifice the goat properly. My mother and I, when we come back from my house, just we took a sort of grain for
flour.
The machine.
The flour mill.
My mother and I, when we come back from my house with not more than a 10 kilogram flour on her back, in around quarter of a midnight crossing a river, we heard sound of discussion from the river. It was dark. We were crossing a river. When we were at the other edge of the river, there were people talking in the middle of the river. We frightened. We tried to go back, but there was no choice. We must feed our family. So we forced to cross. But the true God saved us. We didn't face any problem. Those people, those bodies who were talking in the river, they didn't attack us. This bad exercise sometimes may go to up to sacrificing babies for the sake of securing business, farming, profit. So really, we exercise it. The other thing I remember is from my very childhood. One midnight, my father was in prison. He was not in home. Hyena entered our house while the family was sleeping on the floor in the absence of our dogs. At that special time, dogs were not around. We had 2 dogs. One for our aunt, one for us. Sometimes dogs go out far, a little far from our family, from our home, to look for food. At that open time, Hyena entered. I was small at that time, maybe 5 or 6, 4. We were sleeping on the ground, on cow's leather or ox leather. Hyena suddenly entered. My mother, she was calling for the dogs for help, covering her face with clothes. She advised to not take off the clothes from our face or anybody of us, so that the hyena walking on us couldn't see and pick one of us. She was advising us, "My children, please be careful. Don't take off clothes from any part of your body because the hyena will see and take you off. Take care." At the same time, she was calling for the dogs Chilo, 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 chilo. Buchi, buchi, buchi means something calling for a dog. All of a sudden, the dog came back and the hyena jumped out of the house.
Mogera has just explained a little bit to you about if you go into any kind of a world, encyclopedia, they will say Ethiopia is Orthodox Christian. If you would have asked most or all of the people in Ethiopia, if you ask about 70% of the people in Ethiopia, they will say that they are Christian. But they are really saying that they are Orthodox Christian, which is what Mogera grew up as. Then the other approximately 30% will be Muslim. However, Orthodox Christian is a very, 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 very movable term. Okay. In some ways, when a person says that they're a Christian in Ethiopia, what they're really saying is, I'm not Muslim. I think more precisely, I would say that Mogera grew up as an animist, okay, pagan animist, definitely mixed in with some very, very old, traditional Christian beliefs, idols, and viewpoints. Just another couple questions here for you. Education. How important is education in a system such as Mogera grew up in? Is that what Mogera grew up in? Would that have been possible in an educated society? Just food for thought. And also, what did fear, what value did fear place in the religious system that he grew up in? Blood of sacrifice, blood, knives, meeting the needs of the knives, witch doctors. Is that a system based on love, or is that a system based on fear? As Mogera continues on here, and then he's going to tell you a couple of testimonies from people as well. So as Mogera, go ahead. Okay.
My preschool history, I started education in the village under trees and small houses. Priests were our teachers. When you go to the class, before starting the class, falling down over the priest's foot and kissing. Or this is to express respect. It was good, I like it. Respecting elders is working, but I am telling you what we have passed through. The education was oral, just memorizing, saying something orally. Especially, we were saying, we do not know the meaning of what we are saying, but for the sake of speaking. Now, my father Jesus Christ arrived at me. Now, the light has come. It is time for brightness. My friend, the first time, my friend told me about Jesus. I did not know Jesus, but I was acting as if I was a Christian.
Sorry, Mogera, if I can just interrupt. At this time, how old were you?
Nearly 30. Early 30.
Early 30s, okay. And Mamit, your wife, you were married at that time?
No.
You were married when? How old were you when you were married?
She is behind me by 2 years.
She is 2 years younger.
Younger than me. Yeah. But that was the point we met when this friend tell us about this. Okay.
Thank you. Continue.
My friend told me about Jesus. We were hating him for no reason. The spirit in us and the spirit in that person was totally different. We were hating that friend for no reason. But he was so patient. He was a sportsman. He was playing volleyball. We liked him. We liked his sports. For that reason, we created relation with him. He was really a man of passionate. He invited us to a dinner to his house. When you go to his house, there was a Bible on a table. He served us a good national dish, which we call it Dorowat. And then the Holy Spirit was in that home. We asked, what is this? He answered, oh, this is a Bible. Shall you take and read? We asked, please, you can take home and read. We took the Bible, started reading. We couldn't really read for the first time. When we try to read, we fall asleep for that side. Well, it was very difficult for us to read. Gradually, we received Jesus. Today, I am serving Jesus. I am a church elder. I preach, teach, and I do pray for my people, for my nation. Family background, I have 5 lovely children. I am a principal of BC Academy. I am working in the Kingdom of God with God's people from Canada, USA, and all over the world. Thanks to God. Hand of God in Ethiopia, really, truly speaking,
let's see, 1 minute more data. Okay. This story is very, very typical. I remember hearing the testimony of Tedesi, who is the national director for Blessing the Children in Canada. I'll get a scope of the ceremony, the Adbar ceremony. And I remember hearing Tedesi's Adbar ceremony as well. That it's one of his earliest memories. And I just want to remind you, this was only 30 years ago. This is not 3,000 years ago. Times that I was graduating from high school, they were sacrificing goats, sheep, etc. Tedesi's Adbar story. He grew up in a small village. He was what we call a half orphan. His father abandoned him. And each village worships a significant geographical area within the village. It might be a mountain, it might be a real big special tree, it might be a bend in the river, something connected to the earth. And Tedesi was going to this Adbar ceremony in the evening, and he has 7 or 8 other brothers. We believe most of them are older, and of course, brothers are better. Some of them had batteries in their pocket. And of course, boys, if there's a fire around, what do they want to do? They threw the batteries into the fire. Right? And the batteries got hot. And the fire and the sparks and everything blew up. So you can just imagine a little bit. Here they are worshiping in this Adbar ceremony, these sparks, The flames coming up, and they were worshiping their gods, idols, and all of a sudden this fire blows up. Yeah. You can just imagine what's going on in their head. He laughs when he tells the story. It's very interesting. Mogeta is going to tell a couple other testimonies now. One, I believe, of Abraham. 20 years old, Muslim parents kicked him out. And also of Andala. Andala is an accountant within Blessing the Children as well. I would just like to, maybe a pet peeve of mine, okay? We have many children in our program that have been kicked out of the house by Muslims. Okay. On the surface, in reality, they are not a faith of love. You toe the line or else, out you go. Okay. I don't tell that as to downgrade them, I just tell that story to bring some reality into what the world is like. Okay. Sorry, Mogeta. Abraham.
Abraham, his original name is Ibrahim. But after he became a Christian, he disliked the name Ibrahim. Please don't call me Ibrahim, call me Abraham. That's why we call him Abraham, but he's from Muslim background. He's around 20 and 21. He is abandoned from his family because of his Christianity. Now he is worshipping God, serving God with us. He is working in DCI Academy by the opportunity DCI created for him. So he is well privileged. Now he is getting stronger. His belief is growing. We have a plan to go back to his Muslim family and preach gospel. The other man is Mangustu. He's an evangelist in our church. He's our pastor, the one who is praying for me. The video. He was also from Muslim family. Okay. He's from Muslim family, but he's serving Jesus. Pastor Kadir is another guy who went to Jesus now. He was serving Jesus for more than 25 years. There are Muslims, Abdus Adipur. From military in Dala. In Dala is one of our management team in BCI. He has no one leg. His leg is taken during a war between Eritrea and him. So now he's working as an accountant in BCI. He's a good man. He loves God. He's serving Jesus during his extra time. So we are many, many in number. Thank you.
Just to round up, it's very interesting. Virtually everybody that I know in Ethiopia, all the Christians, are first generation Christians. Okay? They look at their faith different. They have a different faith story as compared to us, where we are hundredth generation of Christians. I'm told about the story about Andala, the accountant. He was led to the Lord in the military. Military was very prominent from through the 70s, 80s, and very early 90s. Let's say 95, Ethiopia became a democracy, and it is very, very progressive country right now. It's among the fastest growing countries economically in the world. But through the 70s, 80s, early 90s, it was a Marxist, a Russian friendly government. I have done a straw poll. Okay. Probably the number one instrument that our God used to spread the gospel through that time was churches? Was coffee shops? No, it was the military. Andala became a Christian in the military because a sergeant shared to him Jesus Christ. And coincidentally, the Desi, the national director, actually led him to the Lord. Okay? Many years later, the Lord brought them all together to tell the PCI. The love of God is far-reaching. It is penetrating. There is nothing that can stop it. Man cannot put up any kind of ism to, now I'm protected from God. That doesn't work. God just laughs. Just sits back and laughs. He likes it when we double dare him like that. Come and meet Mongeta. He has a lot of more interesting stories to tell. His faith story and about what the Lord is doing in Ethiopia. Thank you for your time and your ears. Mongeta wants to pray for you all. Thank you.
Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for keeping me among my brothers. This was not in my dream. This is your hand. You have a purpose to bring me here. Thank you for what all you are doing. I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Bless them. Hear them. Protect them. Bless their country. Bless their family. Answer them if they have any question before you. Again, help them so that they continue working for your kingdom, lifting up their hands . Thank you for Sheila and Rick, for all what they have done for us, for what they are doing for our country. You have many children, you are many poor family waiting for this. We thank you, Father. Just take our time, take our life. I promise to serve in your kingdom in the remaining time, my remaining time. I don't want to lift up my eyes from you. Thank you and help this generation. All this generation, you are important speak to the people of Canada, speak to their hearts, speak to the generation. We know that Canada and America are countries that are established, blessed, and developed by your hands. The development is outshining. Help them. Help the children, especially the youngest. Help them to come to your home and worship you so that they can read Bible, they can make fellowship. Encourage them. In the name of Jesus, Amen.
Malgeta has done very well considering English is not his first language. I think he's done very well. I mean, he's been a tremendous player. You do have indeed a journey to talk about. You know, when we talk, read in the Bible how people have turned from idols to serve a living God, that's sort of something way in antiquity. Here's a man who turned from darkness to light. And, you know, and that's still happening today. And it's still happening in our community. And he has been gracious enough to pray for us, and we want to take a moment now to pray for him, for their ministry, and that what he has prayed for us, that God will also do for them. So let us just bow in prayer for our brother as well. Father, I just want to thank you again for our dear brother in the Lord. And Lord, that you have done an awesome thing. You opened his heart of darkness. You gave him understanding. You opened him to your truth. And Lord, he literally turned from darkness to serve a living God, the God of light. And Lord, I'm so grateful for that deep work you have done in his life, Lord. It literally turned his life around. Lord, I pray that we will continue to hear that testimony time and time and time again. People in their community will turn from darkness and turn to light. Will come to see Jesus Christ, who is the light of men. And I just pray for his family. I pray for his wife. Bless their marriage. Bless their family life. Supply the finances and the needs and the health that they need, Lord, to serve you. And to be a blessing to the fellowship, to the school, to the community. I pray your blessing will fall upon this fellowship today as they are meeting in your name. And we just recognize, Lord, how powerful the name of Jesus is. When the name of Jesus is proclaimed, the spirit world shudders. It is the name above all names. Lord, you have reminded us that when you open a door, no man can shut it. And we're looking to you to continue to open doors. Lord, that the evil one cannot shut. Lord, that the kingdom of God will grow. And children and youth and men and women will come to know Jesus Christ in great numbers yet. And Lord, that the work that is being done in the school, as the children are educated, are trained, are equipped to serve you, will become a life force for you that the community has yet to see. God, continue to do a new work, a big work, a hard work. And make us a blessing to our brother as he spends this month with us. I pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen.